This morning, I was reminded as I've been slowly soaking my way through the Gospel of John. I absolutely love John. I love the Gospel. I love his heart as he recalls his time with Jesus. I love every time he puts pen to paper, so to speak. I just feel like Holy Spirit has led every word that is recorded by John the Beloved. And I'm in John 15 today. And I want us to take a look at just a few verses in John 15. This is the abiding chapter. This is really the call from Christ to how to live. And so I want us to just quickly read through John 15, and we're not going to do the whole chapter, just the first 11 verses. And I'm just going to pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would help us really understand your word this morning. First in our heart, and then I pray it would travel to our mind, Father, our spirit to soul, that it would even manifest in our physical body. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide. And I want to tell you that word is Greek, to dwell, to remain, right? To live. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather him and cast him into the fire, and there they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you also keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. How many messages have we heard on this chapter? So many, so many. Yet I believe there is so much for us to glean from this alone, especially when it comes to how we pray and intercede for our local churches and for the bride as a whole. This is not just important for our prayer life, although I think it's critical. It's also important for our own spiritual health and our own spiritual prayer life. Even if we've heard a million verses, a million words, a million sermons on these verses alone, there's still more that the Lord would have us understand about this. Verse 7 is so quoted amongst those that pray and intercede. We talk about this all the time, right? Whatever you wish, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. How many times do we talk about that verse? But how many times do we talk about that verse when we look what's before it and what's after it, so that we're getting the complete word, so that we're getting the complete verse? We have to remember, this is so important. And this is not just important for those that are wanting to be pastors vocationally or ministers. This is important for every believer. The Bible is a whole. The Bible is a story from beginning all the way back to Genesis, the beginning, all the way to the end of Revelation and everything in between. This is a story of a God who has such a love for a people that it is wrong and dangerous for us to pick out a few sentences at a time and expect us to be able to understand who God is and his heart for us in one or two sentences. It's dangerous for us to be able to pick apart what we like and what we don't like. We have to understand we don't have the New Testament without the Old. We can't have the end without the beginning. We must live in the middle, and that this book is a book as a whole. And because of its length and because of its depth and because there is unsearchable, endless words in this, we tend to break down what our finite minds can understand. And we begin to hold on to a few chapters here or a few verses here, which are good, but we can't forget there has to be context. We have to understand that we can ask whatever we want in his name and we will get that, but we have to know why, how, and how we're to live before we can come before him and ask that. And so we can't just take those verses, intercessors, by themselves. It is critical to know that we can hear, our prayers can be heard and answered, but we have to know what kind of heart we have to come before him with, right? And we also have to know what we're asking. Are we asking for our benefit or for his in the kingdom? Right? Are we asking because someone came to us and asked us to make a petition before the Lord because he may listen to us and not them? And he's like a genie in the bottle that we're asking a wish from? Come on, you guys, we really have to understand context. So this is super critical, not only to our personal spiritual health and how to pray for the bride, but also how to pray and intercede as a whole. Okay, so let's just start in verse 3. I'm not going to go through every single verse, but these are the key points that I feel like the Lord laid on my heart this morning that we can talk about. Verse 3, he says this, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." This is not the only time that Jesus talks about us being purified and washed by the word, right? He talks about us being washed and purified by the word and by the Spirit. This is the confirmation to the call to initial salvation. He's expecting at this point that we're reading the word and that we have already accepted that call, right? We heard someone preach the word. We heard the power of the word. We said yes, and we received Christ as our Redeemer by repentance, right? And in that act, you guys, we are purified. And so we come before him, we accept his gift of salvation, we repent and ask him not only to forgive us, but to change us so we don't want to keep sinning. And then we're purified because we heard and understood and received the word. This is Jesus confirming that. But verse 4 goes straight from the call to salvation and the acceptance of redemption right into what is so important and so neglected, the call to relationship. There is an immediate call in verse 4 to abide. What does that really mean? It means to live. It means we have now entered into relationship with Christ. We are in a covenant. We just got married. Think about it like this. We just accepted the call to salvation and relationship. We have to recognize we are in a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. When you get married, you move in together. You live together. When you come home from that reception, you get carried across the threshold, or you're carrying somebody across the threshold. I don't care if you've ever been married or not, or if you're married now. If you're in relationship with Jesus, you're in a covenant relationship like a marriage. And when you're in a marriage covenant relationship with Christ, you live together. Far too many times people accept Jesus at an altar of prayer in a beautiful moment of redemption. And they go home and they live their life alone, not realizing they're in a covenant relationship with Jesus. He's living far away in heaven. It's like a long distance relationship, right? And we just kind of engage in that relationship when it's convenient for us. And that is not the call. That is not the call. The call is to accept this life together. We got to move in with Christ. More importantly, we got to let him move in with us. Right, the tabernacle is here. And so these bodies become a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of the living God. And so Jesus moves into us in this act of redemption. And we now have God living within us. We realize that we are now cohabitating with our new mate because we've entered covenant relationship. Okay. And so in this covenant relationship, he's calling us to abide, to live together. I'm living in you, you're living in me. And by the way, we're living in the Father together. And without me, you can't get to the Father. And without the Father, you don't have the fullness of me. And we don't perpetuate our kingdom on the earth without you. And so this is a relationship that works for all of us when we all engage and are aware of the relationship of how we're living together. But if we don't, we can't reach the potential the Lord has for us to spread his kingdom on the earth and for us to live and become Christ-like, which is the call. So let's move on. Okay. So verse 4, immediately from salvation and redemption into a cohabitation relationship with Christ. We're in a marital covenant with Jesus and we're living together because this is the call to go deeper in real relationship. So verse 5 says this, if I'm the vine and you're the branches, you who abide in me, I in him, bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we don't realize that we've been saved and redeemed and that we are living in a covenant relationship with Christ, we are not in relationship. And if we are not in relationship, there is no power, there is no life, there is no change, and there is no transformation. Listen, salvation gives us that clean, free, pure feeling. Do you guys remember when you first accepted Christ and his gift of salvation? I don't know about you, but I got up from an altar of prayer. Actually, it was a table at summer camp. Okay. I got up from a table at summer camp and I felt new. I felt changed. I felt free. I felt like the burden, and I was young, I was a child. And at that time, I couldn't articulate it. But looking back now, I felt free from the burden of sin, the weight of sin and oppression. I was free. You know, when you first accept Christ, there is a tangible, physical feeling in our body, in our mind, in our heart. It's real. But when we realize we're in relationship with Christ, that abiding, that living in closeness, or you know the word we use that everybody freaks out about, intimacy, right? That is when we see change and transformation in our life. I would tell you that if we simply try to exist on that prayer of salvation and first acceptance of redemption, but we go no further, that we will never see transformation. And it's because of the reason I just said. We go home and we live singly, even though we've agreed to be in covenant relationship. We're living like a bachelor or a bachelorette. We're not living in covenant relationship. And without that living and abiding in Christ, there's no transformation. And so Jesus is saying, hey, you're already clean. You're already saved by the word, but you have got to do something more. You have got to understand we are in a covenant relationship together. I'm living with you. You're living with me. We're living with the Father. We need each other. And until we realize that, I don't think change and transformation begins to happen. But when we do realize that, holy cow, we start seeing changes in our lives. I'm not the person I used to be. I'm not. I don't talk like how I used to talk. I don't think how I used to think. I don't treat people how I used to treat people. I don't even have the same dreams and desires because I'm transformed. But I wasn't transformed until I realized I was in a covenant relationship with Jesus. All right, that's verse 5. So verse 6 says this. This is big. Hey, if you don't abide in me, you're thrown away like a branch that dries up, that are gathered and cast into the fire and they're burned. Do you know what that means? That means if you don't realize we're in relationship and we're not in relationship, then you're equaling spiritual death. No intimacy and no relationship with Christ, no abiding, no living in Christ is spiritual death. And you can accept Christ as your Savior and you can live redeemed. But if you don't go further in relationship and you just try to live on that one prayer at the altar that one time, you will equate to spiritual death because there's no renewal in that. There's no transformation in that. That's you being the person you always were. Now, am I saying that you don't make it to heaven and you're not saved? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not the one that chooses who gets in and who gets out. That's simply God alone. But I'll tell you something, you will never be what Christ has called you to be and the purpose with which you were created, you will never fulfill without relationship in Christ, abiding. And if we take the word for the word, it does indicate a branch doesn't survive the fire. Come on, a dried up, rotted branch, when you strike a match to it and it goes up, what's left afterward? Ash. That's not life. That doesn't indicate life. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatever you ask, whatever you wish, it shall be done for you. Here it is. Here's that great verse that we started with and we talked about it. As prayer intercessors, as those that stand in the gap for others, as those that pray for those we love and those we know and those we don't, we realize that in the context of intimate relationship, as we're living in covenant relationship with Jesus, here's what we do have. Now we can ask whatever, but we're not asking according to our hearts and desires. We're asking according to His. But when we do this, okay, when we begin to ask out of that place of living in intimate relationship, here's what we see. We see power in our lives. Not our power, His supernatural power. We see backup. We see backup that when we say or we pray the word or we speak out in love, He backs us up because He watches over His word to perform it. And we know that because we're in intimate covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. We're living in Him. He's living in us. And because of this relational intimacy, we have backup from the King of the universe. And we know it. So when we pray, laying on hands, someone checking us out at Walmart or Target, come on, we know we have backup. We don't know we have backup if we just pray to prayer of salvation, but we're not living in intimate relationship. We don't know that. We don't believe that because we don't have the faith for that because we don't know the one who's faithful. You know what else we have? When we live in intimate relationship with Christ because we're in covenant with Him, we have answers to our prayers. We begin to pray how He would pray. When you're living with someone, you get to know how they talk. I know how Terry's feeling based on some of his behaviors, right? Why? Because we've lived together in covenant relationship for a while. You know when something isn't quite right, and you know when something is right, whether it's with your children or it's with your spouse. You get to know people and how they speak and how they think in relationship when you're living together, when you're abiding together. Well, it's the same with Christ. When we're in relationship, He's living in us and we're living in Him, we begin to sound like Him. You know, I use phrases now I never heard in my whole life until I married Terry Wright. We're both from Kansas, but totally opposite ends. I'm from the northeast corner. He's from the southwest corner. Kansas is pretty long. It's a bigger state. I'm not saying there's a lot to it, but I'm telling you this. People in southwest Kansas talk different than people in northeast Kansas. And I use phrases I never ever heard or used until I married the man. Why do I use those phrases? Because I hear them. because we're in relationship, because we're in covenant living together. I speak now the words of Christ because I'm in relationship with him and I listen to him. And when he prays to the Father as the perfect intercessor, I sometimes get to hear how he's praying and I begin to speak that way and pray that way. And I promise you, when we pray like the King Jesus, the intercessor, we get answers. But we don't know how to do that if we're not in an intimate relationship. Come on, if we're not living with him, if we're cohabitating with him, we hear him. But if he's up here in heaven and we're down here on earth and we're living a long distance relationship and we're not listening to him pray, we don't know how to pray right. And we don't see the kind of answers. I don't know about you, but I think Jesus' intercession gets answers. I think his prayer gets answers. He knows how to pray. He knows the heart of the Father. Oh, by the way, when we're in covenant relationship with him, we can know the heart of the Father. But we cannot know the heart of the Father if we are living a long distance relationship or no relationship at all. I'm convinced that we can't know his heart. Because how do we recognize his voice? How do we even hear him talking if we're not living together? You know, I hear Terry talking in this house, but if Terry's two houses down, I don't know what he's saying. We have to cohabitate. We have to live together to hear the voice of the one we love. Okay, so that's 7. What about 8? Let's end in this verse. 8 says, by this my Father is glorified. Well, isn't that the goal? Isn't that the goal as believers, that we be something that glorifies God? That you bear much fruit. So how do we glorify God? By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Well, living in relational intimacy with Jesus is present tense. You cannot abiding with Christ in a past tense form. Because if it's old and your spiritual awakening is old, but you never grew past that and you're not relationally close to him in covenant relationship now, living with him, listening to him, talking to him, obeying him, come on, that means you moved out. That means you all live together in marriage and covenant relationship. But if it's not present tense, you moved out. You took your stuff and you went to another home. And that means you aren't glorifying God now. It's got to be present. It's got to be a regular occurrence. You have to recognize you're in relationship and you're living with Jesus. And if you can't hear him because he's not in the same house as you, he didn't move. You did. If it's been so long since you've been in your prayer closet, sitting in the word and listening to his voice, that you're not sure you hear it anymore, he didn't move. He didn't go anywhere. He's in this relationship. He's in this covenant marriage. You moved. So get your stuff and go back home to him. Here's the beautiful thing. This is the time of grace. This is the dispensation of grace. There's grace today. His mercies are new this morning. Get your journal, get your Bible, get your stuff, and move back with your man, Jesus. You hear? I don't care if you're a man. This isn't weird. This is covenant relationship with the King of the universe. Go home to your covenant relationship, Jesus. Because when it's present tense and you are living in relational intimacy, you bear fruit. Not a little fruit, much fruit. What is fruit? What does that look like? It looks like other people coming to know Christ because you were faithful. It looks like transformation and growth in your own life. It looks like those tangible moments when you can say, wow, I'm different. I'm not who I was. I'm not thinking the thoughts I thought. I'm not speaking the words I thought. I'm different. That's fruit. Right? You know what else? All of a sudden now we're walking in things like peace. I have such rest. I never had that kind of peace in my life before. I think I'm changing. Okay. What else is fruit? Joy. Whoa, times are tough, things are hard, but I got nothing but joy in my heart because I know I'm in covenant relationship with the King of the universe, right? You can't manufacture peace and joy. That only comes from the Lord, but that's a fruit. Now you're bearing fruit when you realize these things are happening in your life, and they don't happen overnight, and they don't happen at that altar of prayer. They happen when you live and abide in relationship with Jesus. Okay, so what else is fruit? Well, you know, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Oh, that one's kind of icky, but guess what? It's fruit. Dawn exhibits self-control. That's a fruit that she walks beautifully in because she has learned to master her own temptation in her body. I can see that she's in relationship with King Jesus because she's bearing the fruit of self-control. You guys with me? This is fruit. What else is fruit? Okay, some people think it's numbers of attenders in your church. Maybe that is for you because guess what? We're also talking about disciples. See, what glorifies God is that we bear fruit. And we can only bear fruit out of covenant relationship and close intimacy. We can only bear fruit when we're living with King Jesus and he's living with us. Okay? We can only bear fruit. What other fruit do you show? Freedom. Sometimes it's healing in your body, freedom in your life, deliverance. That's fruit. What other kind of fruit? Helping other people get free, helping other people get healed, helping other people get saved, helping other people walk in intimacy. That's fruit. Pretty much anything good in the kingdom of God that's talked about in the New Testament's fruit. And if it's exposed in your life, if it's showing in your life, it's probably an indication that you're living in Jesus and he's living in you in covenant relationship. Bearing much fruit is an indication of covenant relationship, and it also glorifies God. Pleases God. Hallelujah. That's the goal. What else? It says also that we bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Well, we want to be disciples of Jesus and we want to make disciples of Jesus. And when we do these things, it's an indication that we're living in abiding in Christ, Christ in us in the Father, Father in us, Father in Christ. We're all loving each other. We're all living together. We're all in covenant relationship together. And it's working because now the kingdom of God is expanding in and through us. You see, now he's able to use us to accomplish his plans on the earth, which is to expand his kingdom and overcome the kingdom of darkness, destroying hell, destroying the enemy. You see, we're usable when we're in relationship. We're not a lot of good to the kingdom of God when we're living somewhere else. When we're not living in Christ, when we're not abiding, we're not really useful for the kingdom. But don't be discouraged if that's where you're at today. Because today you have a new invitation from the Lord to come back to relationship. Now listen, I know you guys. And I know that you guys are grown, mature Christians. I don't know all of you. There's some new people on here. But I want to tell you this. If you accepted the gift of salvation and redemption, but you never went the step farther to abide in relationship and realize you're in a covenant relationship, today is the day that you get to say, Lord, I didn't realize there was more. I only was informed of the prayer. And no one told me how to walk it out. No one discipled me. No one taught me. No one pointed me to the word, which teaches me. No one pointed me to the Spirit. And you know what? I want to be honest with you. That is a huge problem we in the church are experiencing right now is we haven't walked with people well. We congratulated them when they accepted Christ. We rejoiced. We testified to it. We posted it on Facebook. 15 people got saved today. Glory to God. But how many of us dug in there and said, you know what? We need to walk this out with you. We have to disciple with you. We want to point you to now your husband, Jesus. We want to point you in this relationship so that you know how to walk it out. It's not just personal for them. We as a faith family have to get involved and help people walk it out. And we have failed miserably in my generation and in my church. And I think probably in the American church as a whole. This is not an indictment, but unless we recognize the problem, how do we fix it? How do we do better? How do we intercede for the problem? We have to know. I know you guys have heard a million messages on these verses. It doesn't matter. There's still a word to hear today. You guys, we got to walk this out. We need each other on this call. We need each other in our churches. We need each other. I see the fruit of discipleship in Eddie when he's like, you know what? I think there's some people in our church called to a deliverance ministry. Yes, I see that fruit. Amen. That's fruit of intimacy because he's discerning the heart of the Father for some people in his church to bring freedom. It's walking it out. It's discipleship. And by the way, discipleship and fruit glorify God. Woo-hoo! He's glorified when we get it right. We have complicated this. Whoo, have we made this message theologically so un-understandable that we're all like, I don't even know if I'm a believer. How many times have you heard people say that? I don't even know if I'm saved. Because we've complicated a very simple message. This is not about religion. It's not about keeping the laws. It's about relationship. Do you know the opposite of the spirit of religion, which is demonic? The spirit of religion is demonic. Do you know the opposite of the spirit of religion? It's not recognition of the spirit of religion and casting it out. It's walking in relationship. Relationship with Christ is the counter opposite of a spirit of religion. Relationship, real relationship. Right now, I don't care what denomination you're in, they're all dealing with liberalism and unbiblical teaching and everybody trying to introduce new theories for what is sin and what isn't sin. But the answer to that is not rigorous religion. The answer to that is deeper relationship, that we would know the heart of the Father for all things. And in my tribe, dare I say this, right now we have people that are making groups and charter members of private clubs that come against members of other clubs that have one agenda and they have another agenda. And guess what? Just because you're making a club that goes against something that's unbiblical doesn't make you biblical. Because that is religion outside of love. And this is heresy. And both of them are not the Father's heart. Both of them are unbiblical. Ugh. And I'm not even trying to condemn my church. I love it. I love it. I want to see a radical transformation. I want to see an awakening come to my denomination like never before, but not just mine, every denomination. In fact, I want denominationalism to fall because I want Jesus to be glorified. I want God to be glorified. And he's glorified when we bear fruit and when we realize we're in covenant relationship and when we realize we're his disciples and we can go out and make more disciples and we got to do it together and we have to do it individually and we absolutely need each other. And you guys, we have got to be a people who know him by his word in intimate relationship. And we have to quit joining members, clubs, country clubs that say, well, we're going to stand for this and this only so that we can shut down that. That isn't even the way Jesus works. That isn't even how he operates. That's not being Christ-like. That's being mean. And by the way, meanness is not a fruit of the Spirit. Loving kindness is. And even when Jesus confronted and spoke the truth out of love, he still loved. He was never mean. Did you hear that? Okay, let me finish with this. I came up with this today. Actually, I think the Holy Spirit put it in my heart. I'm probably not the only person to say this because there's nothing new under the sun. But you guys know what we need. We need to put an end to drive-through church. We need to put an end to drive-through church. And this is what I mean. We need to stop praying the prayer with no call to relationship. We have to stop asking to be saved and redeemed and then not walking in relationship. It doesn't work. They have to go hand in hand. We have to stop expecting others to do it for us or pray it for us. We have to stop coming to people with a list of prayer requests, expecting them to pray when we're not doing it on our own. That's drive-through church. That's putting in an order at the kiosk and expecting an answer at the window. That isn't church. That's not relationship. We got to stop it. And this isn't condemnation, especially if you've come to me with the prayer request. Because if you ask me to agree with your prayer and your intercession, I'm there. If you ask me to take over your burden of prayer, that's your burden. I have a whole mess of them myself. I want to agree with you. I don't want to do it for you, because that's not truth. That's not faith. That's not love. That's not relationship. We must put an end to drive-through church by avoiding speaking the truth in love. Some of us just hate confrontation, so we just don't want to confront anybody or correct anybody. But can I tell you that when it comes from a place of love, sometimes we got to be bold and speak the truth. Drive-through church tells people what they want to hear, not the truth they need to hear. And we're putting an end to drive-through church. We got to put an end to drive-through church by avoiding relationships. Well, relationships are messy. We avoid them like the plague. People are messy. We're messy. We just avoid relationships. We just show up on Sunday. We put our money in the plate and we're good to go. But I sure don't want to get to know the people sitting around me. Come on, you guys. We cannot avoid relationships with each other, and we can't avoid relationship with Christ, because that is not intimate, abiding, living. That's not covenant. So we have to put an end to drive-through church by stopping this avoidance of real relationship. It's messy. Just get over that and let's walk it out in love, okay? Let's do it. You know what else we have to do to put an end to drive-through church? We have to stop avoiding transformation because it's painful to crucify our flesh. Oh, you guys, we preach holiness. We talk about holiness. It's a virtue of Christ. We can't be holy without Christ. We preach it and teach it with such great words, eloquence, and theology. We articulate holiness so well, but we do not crucify our flesh and die to self, because that's painful. We want to preach it, but we don't want to live it. And that is drive-through church. To tell people how to do it and not actually do it is drive-through church. And we're putting an end to drive-through church. You guys, we have to put ourselves, our opinions, our preconceived notions to death. And it hurts. It's painful to crucify our flesh. It's death, you guys. It really does hurt. But until we get out of our own way and stop trying to push our own desires, opinions, and agendas, we can't let the Holy Spirit flow through us to accomplish His purposes. I can tell Terry that he has to speak like me. I can tell Terry he has to live like me. I can tell Terry he has to do all the right things. But if I'm not doing it myself, then I'm not actually an equal part of this relationship. This isn't working for us. You can't just tell people what to do and not live it. You're not in covenant relationship with Christ if you're doing that. And that's fake. It's false. Those are the people that Jesus says in the end times, "Get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I tell you, I never knew you." You can say and live and put on the church face and play church all you want, but I promise you it will come to a crashing halt, because Jesus is going to say, "I don't even know you. You don't even know me. We aren't even in covenant relationship together." And that is death. That's hell. That's the end of life. And the church is at a point now where we can't afford that anymore. We have to live like the bride of Christ, and we have to pray that everybody else will live like the bride of Christ. And then we have to help each other by discipling each other in love and speaking the truth in love. And this is just one great big circle of simplicity. It's not that hard, but we got to get over ourselves. I was going to say something and the Lord just stopped me. So that tells me it's time to pray. I love you guys enough to tell you that this is not something I'm preaching. This is something I'm learning to live. And some days I get it right and some days I get it terribly wrong. And I'm so grateful for a graceful, merciful God who helps me, who corrects me by His Holy Spirit. And you guys, conviction is kindness. It's His love. It's a kindness for us to be able to correct and follow his ways. And so if you didn't get anything out of what I said, would you just promise me that you'll just soak in chapter 15 of John until he speaks to you? Let him be the one that speaks the word. It's not about me or my opinion. It's about him. And I want him to be glorified. And I want his kingdom to be perpetuated and expanded on this earth now, not when he comes in his millennial reign or whenever. I mean, now. I want to see him overtake Louisville, Kentucky so much that it encompasses the whole region and then the whole state. And then pretty soon, the whole country. I want to see his kingdom come now. And so if I have to die to myself and my flesh to do it, buddy, I'm dead. I'm crucifying it because I want to see it. I want to see it. Lord Jesus.
Melissa, could you just briefly, I have a couple of sisters who's kind of in this situation, briefly say how to advise or go forward with them. As you know, I tell them they have to make commitment to spend time with Jesus every day and things, but I don't, otherwise I don't know. I'm a couple hundred miles away.
Are you ready?
Yes, please.
You can't preach people into truth. You can pray their hearts softened and the Holy Spirit reveals truth.
Okay.
So pray by name for them that their hearts would be softened and that they would understand the truth. Because sitting all around us in our services every week are people who, just like Mary's sisters, aren't getting it. They're not getting it. They think it's religious duty. They don't understand its relationship. Pray. We got an intercede. This is interceding for the bride. Intercede for the part of the bride you know, right? That their hearts would be softened, that they would receive truth from the Holy Spirit and the Word. And secondly, ready, Mary? You got to example it. We got to live it, because if we don't live it as an example, who will see it? We got to be like Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm not discipling you to become disciples of Melissa. I'm discipling you to become the disciples of the one I'm disciple of, Jesus Christ. And so we have to example it, pray, intercede, and then let them watch your life. Oh my goodness, let them see things in your life that are totally different from what they thought, from who you used to be. Oh my goodness, be so different that people want to know what in the world changed you. I don't want to be the person I used to be, and neither do you guys. We have to example this. I've got a brother who's lost. He's not even close, but I'm telling you, I pray he's watching every aspect of my life, and I measure my words so carefully because I want him to see love in Christ and Christ's love for him. And I can't preach him. I can't teach him. I can't convince him. I can only example Christ and pray and intercede. Intercede, pray, and example. These seem so easy, but this is the only answer. We cannot convince humans of their sin. Only the Holy Spirit can convince them and correct them. Sometimes he will use words through us, and sometimes he's just going to let them watch our lives. And boy, we got to pray. So we have to be in a position where we can pray. You would ask me, why would I share this to a group of intercessors? Because you guys, we have to stay in a place where he hears our intercession. We have to stay in a place where we're so at one with him that we're praying for our two sisters, come on, to have a softened heart, that they would understand this and that we would walk this out and live this out well. I want to be a neon sign that points to Jesus all the time. I don't want to just point to him occasionally. People are watching our lives every day, every moment, and we rarely know it. So we better be on. And it's not a performance, it's a relationship. I can't do it without Jesus. I can't. I got to live with him. I got to abide with him, and I need him living with me. I need to hear him better. I need to hear him pray more so I can copy his prayer. I want to speak like him. I want to realize I'm in covenant relationship with him. I don't want to take my stuff and move out because it got hard and I was afraid to die to my flesh. Mary, I hope that helped you. So I'm going to pray. Jesus, we need your help to understand, to live, to model this. Oh, Lord, we know right now there are people that sit around us all the time that think they're right and they're not, that think they've got this and they don't. Lord, we can't go and wag a finger. We can't go and convince them. We can't go and condemn them, but we can pray and intercede. So Lord, help us intercede better. Help us Lord, pray that their hearts would be softened and the veil of deception would be lifted. Help us model this and example you better. I don't want to miss an opportunity because I was tired and because I was disconnected and because I wasn't living in the fullness that I should be. Lord, I know it's not about me. It's all about you. But Lord, you use us. That's how you expand your church. That's how you reach people with the truth. You use believers, sons and daughters. You use those you're in covenant relationship with. We pray all the time, Lord, use us, Lord, use us. But we got to be usable. And so, Lord, we want to be those that aren't just purified, aren't just saved, aren't just redeemed, but are really living in relationship. Some of us, Lord, this morning have to confess and repent because we haven't been abiding well. Some of us haven't heard your voice, and we moved out and we didn't realize. So, Lord, we're moving back in. We're sitting at your feet. That's rest. Worship like Mary. We're sitting at your feet. We're seated with you in heavenly places. Lord, we want to live in that place. So we're moving back into this position at your feet in the seat of intercession. This is our home. And we live with you. We cohabitate with you. We're in marriage and covenant relationship with you. You're our king. You're our bridegroom, our brother and our friend. And so, Lord, not only do we repent and move back in and say, Lord, we need you every hour, but we are going to make the time to spend in your word by prayer and with fellowship and discipleship time with each other. We need these hours. We need these hours. These aren't routine. These aren't tradition. These aren't things that we just get together to do. We need this time together with you, being led by your manifest Holy Spirit. We glorify you, Lord. Teach us. Continue to show us, continue to give us a hungry heart to seek you deeper. And Lord, continue to bring us truth and revelation by your word, not by somebody else's opinion. We need firsthand information. We can't be in a relationship with you through someone else. So Lord, I pray this today in Jesus' name.